7. The left's long march through the institutions. It was Antonio Gramsci, a prominent Italian communist, who promoted the idea of carrying out the long march through the institutions. He found that it's difficult to incite people with faith to initiate a revolution to overthrow a legitimate government, and so in order to make revolution, communists rely on a large number of foot soldiers who share their dark vision of morality, faith, and traditions. The revolution of the proletariat, then, must begin with the subversion of religion, morality, and civilization. After the failure of the street revolutions in the 1960s, the rebels began entering academia. They obtained degrees, became scholars, professors, government officials, and journalists, and entered the mainstream of society to carry off the long march through the institutions. Thus they infiltrated and corrupted the institutions of Western society, which are crucial for the maintenance of morality in the society. This includes the church, government, the education system, legislative and judicial bodies, the art world, the media, and NGOs. The United States after the 1960s is like a patient with an infection, yet unable to identify the cause. Paramarxist ideas have seeped deep into American society and have been metastasizing. Among the many revolutionary theories and strategies that have been put forward, the Cloward-Piven strategy proposed by two sociologists of Columbia University became among the most well-known and has been tried out with some degree of success. The core concept of the Cloward-Piven strategy is to use the public welfare system to force the government to collapse. According to U.S. government policy, the number of people eligible for welfare benefits is far greater than the number of people actually receiving benefits. As long as these people are encouraged or organized to take benefits, they will soon use up the government's funds, so the government will be unable to make ends meet. The specific implementation of this strategy is the National Welfare Rights Organization, NWRO. According to statistics, from 1965 to 1974, the number of single-parent families receiving benefits surged from 4.3 million to 10.8 million, a more than doubling. In 1970, 28% of the annual budget of New York City was spent on welfare expenses. On average, of every two people who worked, one person received benefits. From 1960 to 1970, the number of people receiving benefits in New York City rose from 200,000 to 1.1 million. In 1975, New York City was almost bankrupt. The Cloward-Piven strategy is intended to lead to a crisis. It can thus also be regarded as an implementation of Alinsky's theories, one of which is to make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. Since the Bolshevik Revolution led by Lenin, the Communist Party has been good at intrigue and scheming. With a very small number of people, it created powerful revolutions and crises that it could then take advantage of. Similar things happen in American politics. For example, some of the left's ideas in the United States are so radical that they seem incomprehensible to most people. Why, for instance, do lawmakers and elected officials seem to represent only the voice of extreme minorities, such as transgender people, but ignore the important issues of livelihood of the majority? The answer is simple: they are not representing real public opinion. Lenin once said that labor unions are the transmission belts from the Communist Party to the masses. The communists found that as long as they control the labor unions, they control a large number of votes. As long as they control the votes, they can make elected officials and lawmakers do their bidding. Therefore, communists seek to gain control of labor unions, thereby controlling a large number of parliamentarians and elected officials to turn the communist subversive political program into the political program of left-wing politics. W. Cleon Skousen wrote in his book, The Naked Communist, that one of the communists' 45 goals is to capture one or both of the political parties in the United States, and this is achieved through such an operation. In order to maintain their basic rights and interests, ordinary workers must join labor unions and thus become their pawns. An identical principle is at work when paying protection fees to organized crime gangs. Trevor Loudon's analysis of how communist parties hijack democratic countries speaks to this point. Loudon divides the process into three steps. Step 1. Policy formation. During the Cold War, the Soviet Union and its allies formulated policies aimed at democratic countries. The purpose was to infiltrate and disintegrate these countries and transform them peacefully from within. Step 2. Indoctrination. During the Cold War, thousands of communists from around the world received training every year in the Soviet Union and Eastern socialist countries. The training focused on how to use labor movements, peace movements, churches, and non-governmental groups to influence leftist parties in their own countries. Step 3, implementation. After the Cold War, local socialist and communist groups in Western countries began playing a more dominant role. After the 1970s and 1980s, a large number of Americans influenced by communist ideology entered the social mainstream. They either engaged in politics, education, or academic research, or entered the media or non-governmental organizations. They used the experiences accumulated over several generations to transform the United States from within, and the United States has almost fallen into their hands. The systems of democratic countries were originally designed for individuals of a certain moral disposition and standard. For those who use all means to achieve evil ends, this system has many loopholes. There are numerous superficially legitimate ways to subvert a free society. There is a saying in China, "We are not afraid of thieves stealing, we're just afraid of them thinking of it." Communists and those who ignorantly act on their behalf try to subvert the political and social system of free societies any way they can. After decades of planning and operation, the governments and the societies of the United States and Western countries have been severely eroded, as communist thinking and elements have entered the U.S. body politic.